Thumbtack presents the ins and outs of caring for your home. Out, procrastination, putting it off, kicking the can down the road. In, plans and guides that make it easy to get home projects done. Out, carpet in the bathroom. Like, why? In, knowing what to do, when to do it, and who to hire. Start caring for your home with confidence. Download Thumbtack today.
If you've been struggling with your weight, Mochi Health is here to help. Mochi Health is a long-term weight loss solution personalized to fit your unique needs and goals. Meet one-on-one with board-certified obesity doctors and registered dietitians who are on a mission to listen. Eligible patients can access custom-formulated GLP-1 medications at an affordable set price and get them delivered to their home each month. Take our free quiz at joinmochi.com and use code AUDIO40 at checkout for $40 off your first month of membership.
Say yes to Pure Leaf tea and free gas for a year only at True North Convenience Stores. When it comes to quality, say yes to the delicious taste of real brewed Pure Leaf tea. True North stores are stocked with your favorite flavors like unsweetened, extra sweet, and raspberry. For a limited time, enter for a chance to win free gas for a year. Check the True Rewards app for details or download the mobile app from the Apple or Google Play stores. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Nerds. Today's episode is sponsored by Smart Travel, a new podcast from NerdWallet. Want to travel like a savvy jet setter? No, that doesn't mean monogramming your passport. It means making smart decisions every step of your trip, which means knowing your options. Smart Travel unpacks the facts, like which booking sites actually save money, how to fly first class using points, and if that fancy travel card is a smart investment, all so you can save more on your next adventure. Follow Smart Travel from NerdWallet today and start traveling like a pro.
Welcome to The Compound, hosted by Ian Happ.
It's a grand slam for Ian Happ. What a play, Ian Happ, into the ivy.
And Dakota Mekas.
6'7", 250-pound Mekas. Swing and a miss, struck him out.
Welcome back to The Compound Podcast. This is episode 254. 254 The Compound Podcast, presented by our friends at Parse Rum. We're going to go a little different direction this week, okay? We got a tweet. We got a tweet from our friend Paul Martin, Backpuck Paul. This is at on Twitter. Went out and got himself a bottle of Parse. He got the 8-year Parse Rum, and he said, cheers, guys. Pretty smooth. And sent us a photo of the bottle, and then he sent us a photo of him with having a glass. So shout out to Paul for getting himself some Parse at Benny's.
I like the step-by-step because it was like we got to be in the whole process with him. We saw him get the bottle, then we saw him pour it into the glass, then we saw him drink it. It was great. We were there the whole time.
Felt like he's really on Team Parse now, and we love that. We love to see it from our friend Paul, friend of the pod. May 31st, Music Box Theater, tickets are on sale. We already had good sales so far. Tickets are going. We love it. $25 for a GA ticket to get in, and Tom, that is musicboxtheater.com?
Yeah. If it's not, then we'll cut it. I'll replace with whatever it is.
But we did tweet out the link.
Yeah, you can check all of our socials. So, and we're going to have some guests. We're going to have some fun events going on. We're going to have some friends in the lobby, if you guys remember from last year. We're going to have some people. So a lot of stuff going on. Saturday, May 31st. 7 p.m. Cubs play the Reds earlier that day. Dakota will be there. Don't buy him a drink if you go. He's already going to be good. He doesn't need any more.
Tom, you don't mean that. Please buy me a drink.
It is musicboxtheater.com.
I promise I won't drink it, Tom.
And the worst part is you're like highly visible because you're 6'7". It's not like, you know, if it's like someone else walking around like Zach, at least we could maybe hide him. Like, people are going to see you.
Whoa. I think Zach stands out too. Zach, if you hear that, I got your back, man. You're tall. You're a big guy. You got big Zach power. Two homers last 2 days. Zach Short, no big deal. Sugarland Cowboys.
Did he listen to the last episode, Zach?
I haven't heard him like say anything about it.
He was talking to a couple people that listened to the last episode, and when Tom was thanking Zach for being a part of the show, and then we said don't thank him, he left. I was waiting to hear from him on that, but
he must be too busy for us nowadays.
Yeah, must hate us.
Ian, last housekeeping thing. Where can people watch us on YouTube? I got
Marquee
you, Tom.
Sports Network, YouTube. Or tune into Marquee Sports Network to watch the show.
There's a podcast tab on YouTube. If you go to the Marquee Sports YouTube channel, click on the podcast tab. We're right there. There's two podcasts, so should be very easy to find.
And thanks to our friends at Odyssey.
And those come out Thursday mornings, usually. So check the YouTube Thursday mornings before the show airs, usually Thursday evenings on Marquee's YouTube channel. So there you go. That's how you find us.
One thing before we go baseball. Did have a little 5.2 magnitude earthquake this morning here. I was brushing my teeth, and I thought that someone opened the door, and the maids were coming in, and I was like, hello, and then the whole building started shaking, and I was like, there's an earthquake. I'm in the middle of an earthquake. Never been in an earthquake before. That was a crazy thing.
What's it out of?
Like you said, it's 5. 9. The Richter scale is 9.
So is that like a decent size one? I know. I mean, I'm from Michigan. We don't get them here.
5.2 is pretty decent. It's not like it's not terrifying. Like nothing came down or anything. But yeah, 5. I could tell you the whole building moved, and we have in my room. I have these like sliding doors to the bathroom. The doors were sliding.
So is it kind of that freaks me out like a natural disaster, because it's like you're as helpless as it gets. Like you're just waiting for it to end. Like you can't do anything.
At the mercy of the world right there.
That's kind of crazy. I don't think I've ever felt one before, because like I said, in Michigan, like we're not getting any earthquakes here. I think we had one like a couple years ago, but it was like a 4.0, and like people were like, oh, I felt it. And I'm like, I didn't feel anything. But that's creepy. I don't like that.
All right, Cubby news. Steely is out for the season. Felt a little flexor tightness, got imaging done, and they found more than they thought they were going to find. So he's going to have surgery to repair the elbow. He's going to be out for the year. Hopefully we'll have him kind of at some point next year. I think that timeline's a little bit up in the air. Don't exactly know what they're going to find until they get in there, right, Dakota? Is that your kind of elbow experience?
Yeah, I mean, I've never had surgery on my elbow. I've had like MRIs, and like they typically, like, unless you even have injuries, I mean, at least from my experience playing, like, I don't know how all teams do it, they try to stay away from MRIs just because, like you said, like there's so many things going on. Like, Ian, you know, like you had elbow surgery, like once you get an MRI, they're like, oh yeah, like this looks like it's an issue. This, like, there's so much going on in there. Because we're throwing a baseball. You're not supposed to throw a baseball. Like, your arm's not made to do that. So they try to not even really like look at it until there's a problem, because you'll find problems. And I mean, he had TJ in 2017 when I was playing with him in Myrtle Beach. I think like kind of the standard is like when you get TJ, it's kind of like 8 to 10 years rough estimate is when like they kind of expect that the new UCL will kind of wear down, I guess. So I don't know if it's a TJ he's getting, but like he is kind of in that time frame of like 8 years ago he had Tommy John. It's kind of around that phase where like things could creep up again. I mean, it sucks to see. Like, we love Steely, friends with Steely. I've played with him since I was drafted. Huge loss for the Cubbies. Like, opening day guy, ace. I mean, you got showed obviously, but like Steely opening day last year, opening day in America this year, like, it's a big loss for the Cubbies, and it stinks. We hope everything obviously goes smoothly and he's back next year in spring and ready to roll, but it sucks.
Yeah. When I went through, you know, I obviously didn't have Tommy John, but I put off getting an elbow MRI for a couple of years.
Because like, you know, it's going to show.
Yeah. It was like, I don't want to know what's going on in there.
It's never going to be like, oh, you're 100% healthy in there. Like, you've thrown a baseball for 20 years of your life, but you're fine. It's like, nope, it's not. Yeah. It's not okay.
As a position player too, you're like, I can deal with the pain. I don't have to throw that many times a day.
Yeah.
As a pitcher, it's like, nope, can't do that. But he had a flexor thing last year towards the end of the year. And so having it creep back up, like at some point you just got to get in there and figure out what's going on. And so he'll be back. He'll be good. But yeah, it's a tough loss for us.
It always sucks. It's similar to like, I mean, all injuries suck, but like, it's similar to like football, of like an ACL, of like, it just sucks that it's a year. Like, it's something where like there's nothing you can do about this season. Like, you just have to, and he knows, I'm sure, I haven't talked to him yet, but like, I'm sure in his head, like, he's already been through the Tommy John rehab. So he's like, this sucks. Like, I got to do it all over again. So, like, he knows kind of what it entails this next 12 months. And I'm sure he'll go and crush it, and he'll come back even better. But it's not a fun time for sure.
The precautionary MRI was what they initially said, I think, on Wednesday when they put him on the 15-day IL. And in my life, I think I've seen like one of those come back clear, and the other 999 times it's TJ or something in the TJ family. But you're trying to do the thing where you're like, come on, all right, it's just precautionary. It's fine. It's precautionary. And he's going to come back. And then the council said it was what it was. And you're like, yeah, no, that makes sense. But
and that's like we were saying, like why they hate going to MRI. Like, obviously there are times where like you need an MRI. You're like, hey, there's something wrong here. Like, we need to see what's going on. But like, you try to put it off as much as you can. Like Ian said, like, no, I don't need an MRI. Like, I don't throw the ball that often. I'll be okay. And then it gets to the point where you're like, I can't even straighten my arm when I wake up in the morning. Like, I should probably see what's wrong. So it sucks. But yeah, I didn't have a great feeling when I did see like, oh, they're going for an MRI. It's like, well, that's never a great sign.
The hard part as a pitcher too is like, if you try to rehab it with normal rehab to like get through it,
you're almost just delaying the inevitable.
Yeah, like that's a month of like, all right, we're gonna do this rehab stuff, and then you gotta build back up, and then like you're back thrown in June, and then if it blows at that point, then you're missing like 2 years instead of just like, all right, get it done right now, miss a year, hopefully be back in May of next year and get most of next season. Like, it's that timing thing is so tough.
It makes me think of, and it actually ended up working out, it makes me think of Garrett Cole last year, where like he was getting looked at and then like he rehabbed, came back midway through the season, was able to finish out the season, obviously now has since had Tommy John. Like, I feel like that's more rare that like you last through the season after that rehab than like you just kind of get injured right away where it blows up. So, I mean, it worked out for Cole, but again, that was still kind of a kicking the can down the road to like, eventually this is going to have to get taken care of.
That was like the one scenario I was thinking about. I think that was the one time I could remember kind of going positively with the precautionary MRI. But other than that, and as you said, even then, really that was, we're just going to push this off a year down the road and pray to God that it magically heals itself. And oh, it didn't? Okay, then I guess you're still going to need the surgery. But at least you're able to pitch in the playoffs last year.
Yeah, because like rehab and everything, PRP is something where like it's supposed to regrow like the tendon, right, Ian, or like the ligament.
I think so.
If you know,
that's like plasma rehab, rich plates or whatever. What is that?
Yeah, called? It's supposed to like help regrow that injured area almost to kind of get you back close to 100%. But that's like a 50-50 procedure typically for like if it actually gets you back to 100%. And like rehab is something where, at least in my experience for like my shoulder, you basically just try to strengthen everything around that already injured area. Like, it's not like, oh, I have a partially torn rotator cuff. Like, it'll just heal over time. It's like, no, that's staying partially torn until you have surgery. So like, it's something where like, if they look at it and they're like, oh, your UCL is partially torn, but like, we'll try to strengthen the flexor and like the bicep, tricep, shoulder, like your UCL is still injured on the inside. So it is kind of one of those things where it's a ticking time bomb almost.
The arm injuries are so brutal because, like, if you're a position player, right, you have a hamstring or you have something as a position player, it's basically like, all right, you rehab it, and then when you're good to go, you're good to go. Mm-hmm. You're good to go, you just go play. Like, as a pitcher or an elbow in general, it's like, well, you rehab it, and then you have to build up so you don't hurt it again.
Yeah, you guys
like,
still
a little bit of that with hamstring, where you have to like get to go play some games, and you have to make sure that you can like get through it. But like the elbow is so different, where pitchers have to build up to a certain pitch count. There's rest in between that's needed, so like that rehab process is just such a beast.
Like you said, like for pitchers, it's not like, oh, it takes a year and like they just started throwing 11 months in. It's like I want to say it's like after month six or something. I've never had it again, but I think it's like month six or seven you start your throwing program. So it's like 5-6 months of just building up arm strength again and like making a ton of throws. And then like once you build up arm strength and you get off the mound, how does the arm react to the mound? And then you face hitters, how is it in a live situation? So it's a long process for sure.
Cubbies did so. Colin Ray, this is why you have depth. Colin Ray,
our guy. Love Colin Ray. I said give him more innings. Look at him go. Punch out the side, or struck out two yesterday in the first. Struck out Shohei. Go sit in the truck.
Colin Ray gives the Cubbies a great start last night. You know, he's not completely built up pitch count wise, because he was, you know, he was coming out of the pen. He was throwing 2-3 innings, and so I think he had like 60-ish last night. But did great, got through
three and two thirds,
and then was able to bridge it to Keller, and then bullpen did a great job of not letting the Dodgers get back in a tight game last night. So it was great to see C-Ray. He actually got up to 96, I think.
Dude, he throws hard. Dude, he's gross, and he throws like bullets. 6 pitches.
Yeah, he's got 6 pitches. He was attacking the zone. He looked great. So, you know, he'll step into the rotation. He's been very good for the last 3 years in the big league since he came back from Japan.
Yeah, I think he was in Japan in like 21 or 22, around then.
Yeah, I think 21 and then 22, 23, 24 is in the big leagues, I'm pretty sure.
He's one of my favorite teammates of all time, though. Yeah. I love C-Ray. Like, I think I said it when the quote happened, but like in spring this year, they asked him, like, oh, like, do you expect to start or relieve? And he's like, whatever they tell me to do, like, I'll be prepared for it. Like, that's just the kind of guy he is, of like, he's just going to go out there and compete. And he's, like you said, like, he fills up the zone. He never really, the time I played with him, like, he never really walked guys or anything. He's like, I'm going right at you, and he has good stuff. So
good stuff.
I'm happy to see him in the rotation.
Yeah. I mean, his ability to throw four seam in the zone, sinker in the zone, cutter, whether that's backdoor or like away to a lefty. He's also got splitter, sweeper, and like a true curveball. He's got 100 pitches, but yeah, but he's really good, and he fills it up, and he's going to give us a bunch of quality starts, and that's awesome. It changed our rotation for sure. With now there's two lefties in Choda and Boyd, and now you have the three righties, kind of how that's going to work. Ben Brown had a great start in LA, which is awesome. Matt Boyd had a great start in LA.
He's been nails this year, Matt Boyd.
Yeah.
Nails.
He looked really good. And he just, you know, you have the one homer to Tommy Edmund, but it was a great outing. Kept us in that game. Obviously, we didn't win the first one, but he had a great start. And then Ben Brown, awesome start to give us a chance to open it up on Saturday. And then
Tommy Edmund, by the way, like, after all the free PR you've given him, shouldn't have taken away that hit from you yesterday. It feels like he should have let that one fall in front of him.
It's criminal. Honestly, it's point. Criminal.
That's a good point. I'm a big Tommy Edmund fan.
Have you talked to him at all?
I just said hi to him.
Just been like, it was like walking past your crush in high school. Like, hey, Tommy, good to see you.
Is Tommy over there? Can I come say hi?
You talked to Freddie at first. You're like, can you tell Tommy to come over?
I did talk to Freddie at first. It's good to see LA. It's a great atmosphere right now. LA's, you know, for people who haven't been to Dodger Stadium, you know, it's always packed. It's loud in there. There's 50 to 55,000 all weekend. And the sound system there is so loud. It's so loud. And they love, obviously they're coming off World Series, so they're fired up, but they love their players. Like, Kike gets a standing O like all the time. Love Freddie Freeman. And dude, Freddie, like, he's getting Freddie chance all game. Like, every time he steps up, you know, coming off his injury, but came off the IL for the series. But yeah, I mean, they were fired up the whole time.
Of course they love their players. Look at their lineup. It's easy to love that team. It's disgusting. And that's why, like, Kike's probably getting chance, and like Rojas is probably getting chance, because they're like, well, our top seven in the order are like the best at their positions in baseball. So if 8-9 do anything, it's like, hey, great job, man. Like, they have no pressure down there.
It was a pretty good atmosphere. Now we're in San Diego, which would be the same thing. San Diego's playing great baseball, and that stadium has been packed for the last few years, and it's going to be packed again tonight.
This is a dumb question. Who's the Dodgers closer?
Tanner Scott.
Oh, that's right. Because I was just thinking of how Trinan threw last night, I think in the seventh, and I was like, is he not their closer this year?
No, they got Trinan.
Tanner Scott's pretty good too.
Trinan, Scott, Kirby Yates. They got
Vesia usually throws, I feel like, in later innings.
Yeah, Vesia, late inning situations. I mean, yeah, they got a lot of guys down.
They have zero holes in their whole team. It's disgusting. It's upsetting. And guess what? Cubbies came in there and took 2 or 3. Smell ya.
How about the guy Pajes in center field robs Bush of a grand slam on Saturday? Not even the lineup Sunday. They're like, sorry, we're gonna put Tommy Edmund out there. It's not even really his position, but like, it'll be fine.
Yeah, they made a diving catch.
It's just rude, man.
Gross.
I need you to do a jersey swap with Tommy Edmund. That's like my dream scenario, is you jersey swapping with Tommy Edmund, Zach jersey swapping with Kike Hernandez. That like needs to happen at some point.
I will say, just a baseball note here, the NL West is
disgusting.
Doing it right now.
Disgusting.
Padres
have been great. D-backs took two or three from the Brewers this weekend. They've been good. Dodgers, obviously, very good. And Giants.
I think Giants are in first right now.
Yeah. So
right now, the Diamondbacks are 9-7, and that would they're fourth place in the NL West. That is would be the best record in the American League. That's how good the NL West is right now.
Ian, you guys are 11-7, two games up in the Central, and you'd be two games out of first and in third place in the NL West. You'd only be a half game up with the Dodgers.
We've played the NL West a lot, too.
And then
played the D-backs, played the Padres, played the Dodgers five times. We got the Padres again, and then we go home, and I think we have the D-backs and the Dodgers.
This is going to sound bad. This could get me in trouble, but I'm going to say it. The NL West, have you ever seen like the gif of like the dragons where like there's three normal looking ones, one looks crazy? Like that's the Rockies hanging over there on the side. Like, oh, they're in the NL West too. I forgot.
Nice.
I mean, they're 3-12. I'm just saying record wise. That's all.
They're going to play the Dodgers right now too.
That doesn't sound. While we're in the NL, did you have anything else to say about the...
This season, a new hot deal has arrived at Metro. $25 a line for 4 lines with all the data you need and 4 free Samsung Galaxy A15 5G phones. Getting Metro's best deals is easy. No ID required, no activation fees. Get a new number or keep your own. It's up to you. That's 4 lines for $25 a line plus 4 free phones. Visit a store or go online today. Only at Metro by T-Mobile.
When you join Metro Plus Tax, for limited time and subject to change. Max one offer per account.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need. This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Dodgers?
No, I was going to talk a little bit about Michael Busch and PCA.
Oh, okay. I was just going to mention. Go ahead. PCA, two homers yesterday.
Yeah, PCA, a couple of homers and a triple yesterday. Big night. You know what's great about early in the season? You have a big night like that, you're right back in it. 100%. You're right back in it. You've been struggling a little bit. You have two homers and a triple. Guess what? You're right back in it.
Can
you're
I?
Hitting, you go from grinding to you're hitting 230 again. You have all the slug in the world comes back, and you're a good week away from being the best hitter in baseball. It's just early in the season. It's beautiful. That's all you need. You need something to spark you. Great night from PCA last night, and then Bushy.
Hang on.
What?
I don't know why I'm not trying to be mean here. Again, is that what you're telling yourself right now too?
Oh yeah.
Yeah. 100%. Like, is there a little undertone here of like?
Yeah.
Just takes one game.
That's where you need to be. I mean, I haven't been able to string two together. Like, I had a good night on Saturday. Didn't string it together with another one to back it up on Sunday, but like putting the ball in play.
Yeah.
Having good at bats.
We said it before we started recording.
Ball's not getting down, and we gotta keep going.
It's something, there is something to be said too. I mean, you might feel differently because it's your own swing. Like, I know Tom agrees. Like, it's not like I'm looking at you at the plate and I'm like, oh, he looks lost. Like, what if he's got no clue what's like, you still look like yourself at the plate. The ball's just not dropping right now. And that's why baseball's dumb sometimes.
Why baseball is very nice.
Tommy Edman makes a diving catch on a base hit.
Yeah. Last year, to start the year, I was grinding. Felt like it was just like swinging to pitches, swinging and missing at pitches I thought I should hit. Felt very different than what it feels like right now. And that's part of the game. Part of the game. You're going to go through some tough stretches. Nice to get them out of the way early. It's coming.
I think you need to try to be less like, this is not meant to be mean. This is just a fact. You're trying too much to be like Anthony Rizzo right now. Anthony Rizzo notoriously started slow, and then he would turn it on. Like, don't stop trying to be like your pal Riz. Be your own man.
Be your own man. Be yourself. I will say, Bushy in LA, he's had some good series in the last couple of years in LA, but it was really cool. Obviously, he hits a homer, then he gets a grand slam robbed. That could really get you down the dumps. But then he hits a couple doubles in that game. I think he might have four hits. He hit every ball hard, and then last night hits a homer way back. Just he's having great ABs in the four hole, hitting absolute rockets all over the place. So it's fun to see Michael Bush, good player.
It's got to be cool too. Like, I know he didn't have like a ton of time with the Dodgers, and it was kind of more of a, hey man, there's really nowhere for you to play if you stay here kind of thing. But it's got to be cool, like, when you get traded and you go back and face the team that traded you to, like, perform against them and be like, you let me go. Like, you got rid of me.
There was a couple of those this weekend. I don't know if you saw Severino was fired up.
Yeah.
Thrown against the Mets. And then Hoffman, who
because they didn't deal with the Orioles.
Yeah, didn't pass his physical and then closed the game out against him. Yeah, I mean, those things, players are naturally competitive. And sometimes those things come out in the heat of competition.
See, but I love that. Like the Hoffman thing, like, I didn't find that like disrespectful. Like, it's not like he made like a whole scene. Like, it was just something of like, you guys didn't want me. Like, you said I wasn't healthy and I just shut you down. Like, that stuff is awesome. That's what makes sports fun. There's a little bit of tension, a little bit of rivalry in there. Agreed. That's why I don't ever want you to leave the Cubs, but no, I don't. I don't even want to. I don't want to.
I would. I've been with the Cubs so long. If I came back, I would just say
no.
I would just say I love you all.
Not if they. We're not even. Let's not even go down this road. You're never going to not be a Cub.
Bruce Bolt, batting gloves that I wear. BruceBolt.us. Go to Bruce Bolt. Get your batting gloves. Check them out. Signature series. You can have signature series. Arm sleeves, elbow guards, shin guards. BruceBolt.us. Use code HAP.
Yesterday, they had Mickey Rojas mic'd up during the game. They were talking about the shadows. How difficult was that yesterday? It looked like a particularly difficult shadow day with that 4 o'clock start in Los Angeles.
Nico said the same thing. They had him live on the mic during the game, and he said similar stuff. He's like, the shadows right now are wicked.
Yeah, they're tough. I'd like to say that was the reason that I got absolutely blown up on middle heaters. It's just hard, and I think in LA they have to deal with that a lot because they play a lot of Sunday night baseball, and so they have that 4 o'clock start more than most teams. In Chicago, we don't really get it unless we have a Fox game or if it's the playoffs, which is always, I've always said, it's silly to have playoff games at times that you would not normally have other games. But
well, that's what Mickey Rojas was saying. He was saying we get it a lot on Sunday night baseball, but also during the playoffs, which I know we've talked about before, but it's insanity that we're playing some of the most important games with like these conditions that make it very hard to hit.
You know what I think as a former pitcher? I think it's great. I think it's the best time to play. That's when all games should be played.
Yeah, it was tough. I think the shadows, they make it challenging. We took batting practice there the first day, and it was like 5 o'clock. We're taking BP, and they hadn't turned the lights on yet, so it was super shadows. I took two rounds, and I was like, all right, I'm not getting better doing this. I gotta leave. But like, it makes it hard to pick up spin. Guys are throwing a billion. It just makes it challenging. But yeah, it's part of it. And like, you're only going to get it a few times a year, and you just have to try to grind out your at bats on those days. And I think we as a group did a really good job of that last year yesterday. Oh my God.
There it is. You brought it home.
Okay. We did a good job of that yesterday, and there wasn't anybody talking about it in the dugout. Like, I think that's the hardest thing is when somebody has like a tough game or a tough first at bat, and they're like, I can't see anything up there. Then it's like, it's not good for the group. Like, if that happens, you just like the group's not talking about it. You just persevere through it. We used to get them bad when the games were longer. You'd be playing a 120 at Wrigley, and by the eighth inning, because the games would take so long, you would get bad shadows for like the last couple. But now that the games are so much quicker, it doesn't really come into play for day games very often.
That is a good point, though, of like if you lead off the game and you go, oh, the shadows, like you can't see anything, then everyone else is going up there thinking like, oh, like, I'm not going to be able to see the ball at all. Like, how do I stand? Like, then you're just in the wrong mindset immediately. Also, I will say, you guys get torpedo bats, pitchers get shadows, even playing field. Sorry, Ian.
I did. I went back into the clubhouse, I don't know, the sixth inning or something, and I heard the broadcast, and they were like, now the pitcher's completely covered in the shade, so the shadow shouldn't be an issue. That might be worse.
Yeah.
What people maybe don't realize is when the pitcher's in the dark and the batter's eye is in full sun, mm-hmm. you can't see anything. That's like when it's the dark side. It's like the dark side of the moon. There's no light on the baseball, so you can't see any spin. That might be the worst. Like Milwaukee has that from time to time. Again, not as bad as it used to be because the games are quicker, but we used to have to face like Williams and Hader in the last two innings of a game there, and the sun would come through the windows and hit the center field wall, and so the center field wall would be all sun, and then the whole stadium would be dark and you couldn't see anything.
I will give you, I like to defend the pitchers a lot in our arguments, because someone has to. The shadows is something where I see your side of like, that's like, you're just at a clear disadvantage of, you can't see the baseball. Like, you can't see seam, so you can't see spin. Like you said, you're just like guessing. You're like, this is incredible. Like, why are we doing this? That's like in Iowa when we had the gold dome out beyond center field, and like a lefty would stand first base side, and it's like, I don't see the ball coming in. Like, how am I supposed to hit it? I'm literally swinging blind.
Fun times.
Yeah.
I got another one. They said this on the broadcast. Dakota, get ready to just say how show this is. I heard there was a putting contest on the team plane to Los Angeles. Any truth to that, Ian? Were you involved?
I won't confirm or deny.
So that's a confirmation, and that's crazy.
Masters week.
But, I mean, that's pretty show. Also, if there were to be one, which there may or may not have been, who won? Who would you think would win?
If that was possible, if you guys made the putt, there's a playoff, Merriweather.
Wow. You lost?
I hit two bad putts. If that would have happened, I would have hit two bad putts.
You should have putt with your wedge. If it were to happen. How's the putter been this year, Ian? We can't get back on golf here too much, but how's the putter been this year?
Played in LA on the off day. Yeah, rolled it pretty well.
I will never not laugh that Schwarber, like the first time I ever golfed with him, he goes, can Happer still not putt? Like, that was the first thing he said, is that you can't putt. And I told you that, and you go, I don't know what that guy's talking about. That's not true at all. And it made you so upset that he said that.
I've been grinding on the putter. Putter's been a lot better.
Putting's the only thing I'm good at in golf. I don't know why.
Where'd you play, Ian, on the off day?
Shout out to Lakeside Country Club. Boys at Lakeside took care of us and had a great day out there. Had a blast. What a wonderful place.
The chances, at some point, I'm going to have to come down to Chicago this summer and we'll golf on one of your off days, of course.
Of course.
Of course. Naturally, gotta focus on the game. Gotta focus on the baseball otherwise.
I want by talking about the Masters. And I just wanna give where I was at. Okay, so we're on the West Coast, right? Which was really nice. Because if you're on the East Coast, or even if we were at home, it would have been really hard to watch any of it, because we would have been getting to the field, would have had day games at home, or if you were on the East Coast, like, you would have been getting to the park kind of when things were going on. But being on the West Coast, you wake up, you got plenty of time to watch golf because they're already out there. We were at the hotel, and the feature groups were teeing off, and then during the day, like, you're getting ready for the game, and it's on TV, and the rounds were kind of, the first two games were 7 and 6 on the West Coast, so the rounds were finishing up kind of as we were getting ready for the game or getting ready for BP, which was really nice. But then we had Sunday Night Baseball, which is a 4 o'clock start yesterday. So we're doing everything. I'm watching, staying dialed in on what's going on. And
dialed in on golf or dialed in on baseball?
Both at the same time. It's possible.
Good answer.
And there, so I'm going out to stretch. Rory is hitting his drive on 18 the first time as I'm going out to stretch. And I'm like, no idea what's happening.
Back. We got to push this game back.
Oh, man. It was tough. Went out there. And so I had no idea what was going on. If he, like, because I knew he hit the drive down the middle on 18. It was like, all right, he's going to make a par and win. And didn't realize that he hit it in the bunker, missed the putt. And then there was a playoff. So that was tough timing, but what an awesome golf tournament.
Yeah. I mean, that's, so you didn't see the playoff hole, right?
Nope.
That's tough, because the playoff hole was electric. Rory just, I mean, because Rose hits a good drive. And then I was thinking this at the time, like, Rose got in the clubhouse first. So they're like, oh, you have honors. I almost feel like I'd be like, can I choose? Like, can I go second? Like, I'd rather see what Rory does. Cause, like, say Rory shanks one in the woods, I'm like, you know what? I'm going to play like a 3-wood or an iron here, play it safe. But going first, like, the pressure's almost on you more. Obviously, you get the point to, or you get the chance to, like, set the tone for it. But then Rory steps up and just pipes a drive down the middle.
I feel like Rory's better going second too. Like, Rory probably feels like Rory's more comfortable when he has to attack and he's chasing rather than when he's in command. That's like the most fun part about watching Rory is, like, there was a moment there where he was, I think, at like 13 or 14 and everyone else was under 10. And it was like, is this over? And I was like, it's not over because it's Rory. And you know that at some point he's going to give a couple back. And all of a sudden it went from he was 3 or 4 strokes clear of everyone to he and Rose were tied and Oberg had a putt to take the tournament lead at one point. Like, it got really crazy, really fast down the stretch.
Well, and like you said, Rory, when he's chasing, is almost better because he's aggressive.
Yes.
When he had the lead, and I think it was 15, the par 5, maybe it was 15, and he laid up and he was like trying to.
13.
It was 13. Okay. I was going to say, I don't think it was 15, actually. It was 13.
13 is the one where he also hit the shot that it was the only time in my life where I was like, I actually think I could have done better. He missed it by like 25 yards from 80 yards away.
It was the biggest one where, like, the announcers were like, that's like the worst shot we've ever seen Rory McIlroy hit in his whole life. They're like, that's unthinkable how much he just missed.
It was just great drama to have what happened. I mean, the double bogey on the first hole. And then he gets hot there in the middle and gets the lead kind of where you thought, all right, he's just going to walk away with this. And
what was that shot on 7? The one through the trees? I mean, that one was insane.
Yeah, where he's going to win by 3 or 4. And then to have all of that drama late, the birdie he made on 17, Justin Rose to play as well as he did and make that putt on 18 to be in the clubhouse with a chance to tie it. Just unbelievable stuff. And when you watch the Masters on Sunday, those hole locations are so unbelievably challenging. Some of those spots where they put the flags like right over bunkers. And I mean, it's diabolical out there.
What did you think? I didn't like on 16, they put it back. They moved the flag to where like Jack had his infamous shot, I think it was, instead of like the typical Sunday location. I kind of like it better. The typical Sunday location down lower where like you get the runs at hole in ones and like you think of like Tigers in 19 that like missed by a foot from a hole in one. Like, it's just a little more exciting for me down there.
I do think that kind of 16 iconic Sunday hole location where everything funnels to it, it's kind of tucked over the water too. So if somebody yanks it, they're in trouble.
Yeah.
But I appreciate that it was the 50th anniversary of
the 75
and 75. Yeah. And so I appreciate that nod to the history. I thought that was cool. And guys still hit great shots into that back hole location.
13, when Rory hit that shot, like that hook, or no, it was 15, the hook he hit like around the trees to give himself an eagle putt. I was like, we were texting like in our group text, like that's the kind of shot where like when they show highlights of Rory McIlroy's first Masters, like that shot's going on there of like, oh my God, like what a shot.
Then he still missed the putt though. He missed the eagle putt. So it was like,
that kind of killed it a little bit, like the excitement of like, oh, what a shot. And then like he missed the eagle putt. It's like, well, it was still a cool shot.
That looked like vintage Tiger Woods. Like he hit some shots that looked like vintage Tiger Woods. That was, I mean, that shot, a couple of the ones where he was in the trees and he just hit like a massive wedge or nine iron over the trees.
I think that was 17 that he did like the, like he's like yelling for it to go and like lands to 3 feet, knocks in the birdie putt.
Well, 17, he was in the fairway, but there was a couple throughout the round where he was in the trees and you're like, how's he going to play this?
Oh.
And he just went up and over everything.
So on the front nine, I forget what hole it was, like maybe it was like six or seven, but like where he literally, like the announcers were like, I don't see a window. Like, I don't know how he's going over here.
That's my favorite golf broadcaster term. They're like, oh, he's got a window.
Yeah.
And I'm like, does he have a window? It looks like he's blocked out to me. Like if I'm there, I'm like, I'm punching out to the side.
Well, because the announcers like there's a window. Like, the announcer, like, they're not even discussing going low. Like, he's going to try to go through that window and go over these trees here. Like, I don't know if he can do it. And then he just sticks it. And it's like, this guy's.
It's no surprise that facial hair is personal. It grows from your face. Whether you're going smooth shaven or maintaining a beard, Dollar Shave Club offers shave and grooming products that are always high quality, but never overpriced. Visit DollarShaveClub.com and use promo code SHAVEUP for 20% off $20 or more.
Hey everyone, quick shout out to Whole Foods Market. You know I'm all about eating fresh and finding quality ingredients, and that's exactly what Whole Foods delivers. Whether you're grabbing organic produce, high quality meats, or just a quick healthy snack, they've got you covered. Plus, they're all about sustainability and supporting local farmers, which I love. Next time you're grocery shopping, check them out. You'll taste the difference. Spring is the perfect time to refresh your table, and Whole Foods Market has everything you need. Hosting brunch? Picture this. Flaky, buttery quiche, crispy bacon, fresh berries, and of course, cold-pressed orange juice to brighten up your morning. And if you're in the mood for something fizzy, check out their seasonal Italian sodas. Berry Blend and Orange Hibiscus are total must-tries. So whether you're planning a casual get-together or a full-on feast, Whole Foods Market has you covered. Make Whole Foods Market your destination for all spring gatherings.
And now, two pigeons who can't believe how good humans have it with DirecTV.
These humans are hopping from streaming apps to live sports without batting a wing.
All from the DirecTV home screen.
With just one click, you could be watching a baseball game, a movie on Netflix,
or a critically acclaimed documentary.
You watch documentaries?
I love the ones that leave you with a question.
What?
Exactly.
DirecTV, a better way to watch whatever you want to watch. Visit DirecTV.com.
Internet-connected Gemini device, separate Netflix membership, and additional paid subscriptions required for third-party apps. Restrictions apply.
Today's podcast is sponsored by Midi Health. At any given time, 61% of adult women say they want to lose weight. But for many, that's easier said than done. If you've had trouble losing weight, don't lose hope. Midi Health uses a deep understanding of women's hormones and a combination of weight loss medications to create a customized plan for each user. Midi Health can help you achieve more effective and sustainable weight loss by addressing hormone imbalances. Midi can also prescribe proven weight loss medications that help you experience reduced appetite and increased feelings of fullness. When paired with hormone optimization, you're not just managing your weight, you're also supporting your body's natural processes, which means you can overcome those weight loss plateaus that in the past have been so difficult to move beyond. So if you're ready to combine the power of hormones with the power of weight loss medications, visit joinmidi.com today. Discover how this innovative approach can lead you to lasting success. That's joinmidi.com.
MLB.TV is home to baseball's biggest stars. Watch every out-of-market game, live or on demand.
He got it! This is unbelievable!
Plus, you'll get 24/7 access to MLB Network. Stream every big pitch.
He struck him out!
Every home run.
Gone!
Everything baseball. All season long on MLB.TV. Start a free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Special player.
How cool is Amen Corner, though? The fact that, like, when Rory's melting down on 13, there's the crowd is so far away. It's like him by himself, and he's got to walk to the next tee after doubling, and all the history that he has there from 2011 and stuff. Like, when he shot 8, when he melted down in the back nine and shot 80. Like, the fact that that's what makes the Masters so cool is the fact that it also, like, nobody has phones, so you're just waiting for the scores to get posted. Yes. And they kept cutting to the crowd, like, losing their mind in whatever direction was happening. I just, the Masters is so, it's so well done. Like, the no phones, the way the course is set up, the lack of crowds in some spots. Like, it's just, it's the perfect golf tournament.
It is the best tournament out there. Like, once it's over, I'm like sad. Like, the other majors are still cool, but I'm like, they're not the same. Like, Masters is by far the best. Like, everyone watches the Masters. Like, you're crazy if you don't. I will say, like, the roller coaster for Rory is what made it even more impressive, of like doubles and then sticks one on the next hole and then like birdies 17 with a six shot and then hits a horrible wedge on 18 to bogey and misses like a 5-foot putt to win the Masters, to then going and winning the playoff hole. Like, I couldn't imagine bogeying 18 the way he did. Like, he was like 140 out on 18 and like just misses it right in the bunker. And it's like, you just had to throw this on the green and you won the tournament. And he misses in the bunker. And it's like, oh my God, like he's going to blow this.
And yeah, I mean, he was fighting some demons, like the roller coaster to be able to stay in it and hit two good shots, two great shots on the playoff hole to put it away. Like, it's pretty incredible.
And that's like a lot of tweets were like, Rory's reaction was like, that is the visualization of someone who just had the weight of the world lift his off his shoulders. Like, because all he's heard for 11 years is like, oh, Rory just needs the Masters to get the career grand slam. And he hears it and he's like, he's probably so sick of hearing about it. He's like, I know I need to win this tournament. I know I can. So it was really cool, like, see his reaction, like, go and see his family. Like, that's what sport's all about.
Also, there's only 6 guys who have ever completed the career grand slam.
Like, crazy.
Crazy.
That's very impressive.
I loved his reaction. You saw how much it meant to him. And when he said in Butler Cabin, he said, I this is my 17th time coming here. I wasn't sure if this was ever going to happen. Like, I wasn't sure if I was going to have the moment. So the fact that he quite literally was like playing with the jaws of defeat over and over again, he kept dangling himself in there and then pulling himself out. I mean, it's why we love golf, and it's why you love like watching Rory, because you know that a final round with Rory McIlroy is just going to be compelling because he's going to do crazy stuff, whether it's good or bad.
And that had to be one where, like, if he didn't get the job done, he had to have, like, say he lost yesterday in the playoff, in the back of his mind had to have been like, I'm never going to do it. Like, I just can't win here. Because, like, that was his chance of, like, winning the whole round on Sunday pretty much until like towards the end. But if he didn't do it yesterday, I don't know if it was going to get done.
I also think, you know, it was a really long major drought for him, and what happened at the US Open last year with him missing that short putt and then Bryson getting up and down from 60 yards away in a bunker. Like, I think just the major pressure of not being able to convert a major for a long time had to be weighing on him. And I really hope that this frees him up, that now that he's done this, doesn't really have anything else to prove, and he can go on a run, because the golf courses for the rest of the majors this year line up pretty well for him. Like, if he could win a couple majors this year, it'd be pretty cool. It'd be great for golf for him to go on a nice run over the next couple of years, because his game's as good as it's ever been. I mean, it's just dialed.
What did you think? I originally thought, like, oh, like, that's kind of messed up. Like, Bryson after the round, they're like, oh, like, what was Rory saying? They're like, he didn't talk to me the whole day. And you're like, what do you mean? Like, he's like, he didn't say a single word to me the whole day. And I think originally people were like, oh, like, that's kind of messed up. Like, he wouldn't talk to him. But the more I thought about it, I was like, that was Tiger Woods. Like, Tiger Woods did that all the time, of like, I don't care about you. Like, I'm not going to talk to you. I care only about my golf shot. So the more I thought about it, I was like, that's kind of sick that he was like, I'm so locked in, I'm not like chatting up anybody.
Yeah. I don't think that's, I saw that too. And I don't think that's an issue. Like,
no.
Guy's dialed. He's trying to win a golf tournament, and like, he's not going to have a conversation. Like, it's just him and his caddy out there trying to stay locked in. Like, no issue for me.
No, I just feel like originally people were like, oh, like, Rory, like, he's kind of being a dick out there, like, not saying anything to Bryson. Like, I'm like, no, it's just Tiger Woods did it. And everyone's like, oh, he's a killer. Like, he's out there with that instinct. And it's like, okay, like, same thing for Rory then. So it was sick to see.
I think he made some nice comments after about Bryson too, and that, like, he played great. And
I think it was obviously like the connotation of like LIV versus PGA and all that. And I was like, but I think Bryson and Rory have like kind of mended fences, because like there's that clip of them on the range talking about the U.S. Open. And he's like, oh, like I got to get one back on this guy after he stole the U.S. Open from me. And Bryson goes, well, you kind of did that to yourself. So I don't think it was any like animosity. I think it was more Rory was just so locked in.
I do. I'm gonna flip it back to baseball.
Boo, no, golf. Oh, actually, last thing on golf. I've played golf twice this year now. 91 and then a 90. So we're trending in the right direction.
91, 90?
91 Friday, 90 yesterday. The driver's been good. The putter is the only club that feels comfortable in my hand. I can roll the rock right now, but I'll tell you what. I usually got those soft mitts around the green. I had a hole on Friday where I literally was like green side rough, thinned it over the green. All right, we're going over there. Chunk, nice, thin, back over the green. And then I chipped on. So I was hitting three from green side and I ended up with an eight. It was a fun time. Love golf.
We can't be doing that.
No, I know. I know it, Ian. It was ugly.
There were guys in the clubhouse that were like, do you think you could break? I think the first question was, do you think you could break 90?
No.
At Augusta? Like in this, in like those conditions?
To you, not to other people, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Me and Carson Kelly, who's a really good player.
Okay.
And I'm like, no chance. No chance.
I don't absolutely think you could break 90.
Zero. I don't think you could break 100.
I think I don't know. Because it's the hilly, like, you land on the wrong part of the green on any given green and it's gone. Like the ball's gone. Like you could
hit the speed of those greens is crazy. Yeah. I mean, you saw even like Rory on that eagle putt, he tapped it and he thought it, and then it ended up being short. Like everyone was so scared of those greens and they get week, you know, they get the whole week to go out there and practice. If you played one round, I think that'd be the challenge.
You would need like a caddy with you that has so much course knowledge of like, you need to land it here. Like not a foot to the left, not a foot to the right, here.
Even with the course knowledge, like you, if you're playing in front of the, say you're not in the final group, say you're just playing, say you're the first one off, with people out there and with the, like around the greens, I would be such a disaster. Like I would miss the green and I would be like, I can't land it anywhere to stop it. Any, like it would be the number of eights that I would make out there. And like, if I missed a drive into the trees, like
you're done. I think you'd be better at like the par threes than the other holes, because like the par threes, I think you'd be okay. Like you could at least probably get it on the surface, and then like you might three putt just because they're tough. Like I think like the fours and fives are the tough ones, of like you have to leave yourself the perfect number to try to land it perfectly.
I mean, the way the golf shots that these guys are hitting, like you're like, oh yeah, like 16, like these guys are just stuffing it into the back right corner, like making it look easy. Like, I might snap one into the water.
Yeah. And if you're 5 feet short of that top shelf on 16, you're rolling all the way down like towards the bunker. Like it's so impressive to watch. And then I think you could get near 100. I don't think you'd be like, I think I'd be like, I'd be like pissed off. I would just not even want to play it. Like I'd shoot like a 125, 130. Ian, I think you could sneak around 100. You're good.
If I ever played there, it's a no. This is my new thing. If I'm not playing well, scorecard goes away. You know, we don't have to know. We're just there to have a good time. And why am I gonna keep track of how bad I'm playing to make myself upset later? You know, just let's have fun. Scorecard's irrelevant. Then you can just focus on the good shots to hit. You know, not that many of them, but then you can focus on them.
Tom, what else you got?
Aaron Judge named captain of Team USA.
I was going to bring that up.
Captain America Aaron Judge. Also, former Cubby David Ross is the bullpen coach. Mark DeRosa coming back as the manager, but David Ross will be in the bullpen.
Yeah, I texted Rossi and was like, that's awesome. He's fired up. It's cool.
You were like, if you need a left fielder with three gold gloves, let me know.
I'm available. If you're not on this team, I'm going to freak out. Who do I got to call?
Need someone to come off the bench. I'm here. I mean, yeah, I it would be an honor. I think that it's really cool. And I know people were excited about the last one. I think that's going to keep stirring player interest, guys that are going to want to do it and want to play. Hardest part, I think D-Row might have talked about it on the network, like getting pitchers to sign up is hard. Getting teams to sign off on pitchers throwing and building up to do that, like that's the hard part. And I think that's Team Japan, the reason why they were so good, like they had Yamamoto and Shota,
Sasaki.
Sasaki, like all those guys through and through, you know, 5-6 innings in those games. So that's kind of the one thing for the guys that are in the big leagues. Like, it'll be interesting to see if the Dodgers like let those guys do that again, or like what that looks like.
I got two things. One, Judge like signing up and being the captain, like I love that. It's the same thing as like the NBA when they went to the Olympics in Paris. Like, it takes one star to be like, I'm in, like LeBron James saying I'm in, for then like Mookie Betts to be like, you know what, I also want to go play in this. Like, if Judge is going, and then like it's just like a waterfall effect of like everyone after that wants to go be a part of it. Like, Mike Trout's going to want to play in it again. And I do get
concerned. Ask you that. Do you think Trout's going to play? Because like, if they make Judge captain, is that like, is that, because it seems like to me, if Trout was playing, you would make Trout the captain. No,
Trout's 100. He's 100% going to play.
Okay. I think Trout will play. I think he loves it. And I think back to like the injury thing, the side of it of like, will teams let you play? Like, we've talked about this before, but like playing for Team USA to me is such like a high honor to like play for your country. So like, if you're given that opportunity, I feel like I'd have a really hard time being like, I got to focus on this season. Like, I get that side of it of like, especially the pitchers of, I don't want to build up to 5-6 innings in March or whenever it is, but it's something like forever. You can say like, oh, I played for Team USA. Like, that's so few people get to like play for their country. Obviously so few people get to play in the big leagues, but even fewer get to go play for their country, like in the biggest tournament we have in baseball.
I mean, that outfield might be
disgusting.
Judge, Trout, Mookie, or it might be
Tucker could be in that conversation too.
I mean, if Tucker wants to play again, because he was in the last one, if he wants to play again, he'll be out there. Jackson Merrill, maybe in center. Like,
there's so many. That's the
Corbin Carroll.
Gross. Yeah, it's like you have to like cut people that deserve it almost. It's like, hey, man, like you're a superstar, but we have four other superstars that already signed up. Like, we don't need six outfielders. Sorry. Like, Bobby Witt, I could see Bobby Witt playing. Oh, it could be so fun.
Yeah, I mean, Gunnar Henderson and Bobby Witt, probably some combination of up the middle. Like,
it's so Freddie Freeman at first.
Freddie Freeman plays for Canada.
Oh, that's right.
Paul Goldschmidt was the first baseman last time.
Mm-hmm. That's your Yankee. We got a Yankee in there.
Don't think he'll be the first baseman this time.
I feel like pitching is typically where, not to knock any American pitchers out there, but like, I feel like that's where we are kind of a little behind other, especially like Japan. Like, Japan has better pitching than us. Like,
well, I used to think it's because it's harder to get those guys to build up and commit to doing it and get enough innings out of them. Like,
for sure.
Not that we don't have the talent. It's that it's really hard to get teams to say, hey man, yeah, your ace can go throw an extra however many innings of like pressure baseball in the WBC, because it's not the same as spring training innings. It's just not.
No, it's like playoff baseball almost. The intense, like, I think back, I always remember the San Diego games when like Adam Jones robbed Manny Machado. Like, those innings are like, those are stressful innings. Like, teams are going all out. Like, especially like the Latin American countries, like, they want to beat us so bad, and like, we want to win too so bad. So like, it's playoff baseball in March.
That's why. Dakota, you got any second nationalities? Can we get you going for like the Czech team or something?
The Czech team, they have a lot of like teachers and plumbers play for their team. Wasn't that the whole story?
Yeah. So that's like, Dakota could be coming, going. Dakota Mech is ace. That's what I'm hearing.
My mom's dad is actually from Portugal. So Portuguese, they got a team. They need anyone, right? I got a few innings left in this thing. Come on now. I could give you a couple outs. I'll go out there and compete against Hap. I'll rib shot him first pitch.
Sick. Thanks, man.
It does stink. Like, I just thought of it because I was thinking of who like the starting pitchers would be. Like, obviously Garrett Cole won't be able to be a part of it. Like, I could see Tariq Skubal, friend of the pod, no big deal. We had him on, AL Cy Young, wanting to be a part of it. Like, I could see Chris Sale being like, you know what, like, I'm towards the end of my career, like, I'd love to go play for Team USA like one more time. Like, I think of that again, correlating it to basketball, of like, Steph Curry never played in the Olympics, and then he's like, you know, this is probably my last chance, like, this would be pretty sick. Like, you're telling me Chris Sale wouldn't think the same way of like, this could be pretty special to go be a part of this?
Maybe imagine like Skubal, Reagans, Like
Sale.
Very good.
I feel like we're missing some other huge ones. Yeah. Corbin Burns, Logan Webb's gross.
Logan Webb.
Like there's Glass now.
Like Gallon, those guys. Like
I think it's different, obviously, and as we've said, pitching versus hitting, but like is there a world where like you'd turn it down for you personally? Like say you got called tomorrow.
No.
That's what I mean. Like it just seems like something like that'd be so cool to be a part of.
Yeah, I mean the only way I could see like a position player saying no would be like you just signed a deal with a new team going to camp. Like
or like a nagging injury, like hey, like yeah, I've kind of been dealing with this hammy over the offseason. 100%. But other than that, like if you're ready to roll, like go play some fun baseball.
Yeah. If you're healthy, I think the only thing would be like, yeah, I'm in camp with this new team and I really want to make sure that like I'm here and present, getting to know the guys. But like besides that, like
the snowball effect of Judge, like I imagine over the next few weeks and months, like there'll be more and more like Mike Trout commits, whatever, Kyle Tucker, like more big names are like, you know what, like Judge is going to play, like if he's going to go do it, like why shouldn't I go do it, like if I'm invited, whoever that
yeah
may
I think
be.
The consistency of D-Row managing too is good. I think that's great because he knows everybody, he's around, he'll be recruiting guys. I think that's really good for Team USA.
Yeah, that's like that's more almost like a recruiting job than anything else. It's like kind of being like, hey, come by into this program that we're doing, you know, not just like one team. It's nice to have, as you said, consistency at the top of that.
And that's not a job I'd want, being DeRozan, like trying to manage the pitching staff of like, and then all of a sudden someone, knock on wood, like gets banged up and it's like, sorry, Yankees. Like we didn't want this to happen either. Like you have to be so careful. And I'm sure like they coordinate with, especially on the pitching side, they coordinate on like, hey, Devin Williams is allowed to throw one inning, 30 pitches. Like he gets to 30 pitches, you better go out to that mound and take him out kind of thing. Like I'm sure it's not just a free for all of, yeah, just use him as you please. Like they gotta be smart about it.
I do have a Danny Mueller hot take that I'd like to get to because we missed it last week. And I thought it was a good one. LeBron's durability is more impressive than MJ's rings. Not saying MJ is better than, or LeBron is better than MJ, but his longevity is underrated. So the hot take was LeBron's durability is more impressive than MJ's rings.
I think it is right now, but I'm very curious to see. We've advanced so much in technology and LeBron has spent so much money on maintaining his body in the hyperbaric chambers and all the stuff that he does. I do wonder, undeniably, his durability is unquestioned. I mean, the fact that he came into the league in 2003 and the fact that he's still going to be a top 15, top 20 player in the NBA this season kind of says everything. But I do wonder if we'll see more guys have this type of longevity as the technology continues to get better and improve, or if he really is just a one-off. It's hard. I think it's a little hard to say right now because I think we're just at the forefront of guys really having unlimited resources to take care of their body. As even MJ didn't really have that 20 years ago when he came back.
I agree with that. I think it's a combination of both. Like you said, Tommy has all those extra things and ways to like take care of his body and like just stay healthy. But you see some of like the dunks he has and stuff right now, and he's 40 years old. I'm like, I'm 30 and I like jump and I'm like, my knees crack and I feel like I broke something. Like this guy is still just doing freakish things at his age. So I think it's definitely a combination of like, he's just a special human being and he takes care of his body better than anyone ever has.
LeBron's 40.
It's crazy.
He's 40 and he's still doing it. He's averaging 24, 7.8 rebounds and 8.2 assists. Like I'll go back to the hot take. I think winning is the hardest thing in sports, and MJ's rings, it's very tough to say. I think because we're living in this era, I would say that LeBron's longevity and what he's been able to do and how he's still able to be this effective in this era is it's the most impressive thing in sports right now. It's ridiculous. And like, we've seen other guys that have played through this era and came up even after LeBron, the effectiveness of their game not sustain as well as LeBron's has.
you see like the stats of like Vince Carter's a name of like, oh, in year age 40 season, he averaged like 5 points. And it's like LeBron still averages 20 plus, 6 plus rebounds, 6 plus assists, plays 35 plus minutes a night. It's like, how are you doing this? Like, you shouldn't still be able to do it. Like, there was talks of like, oh, this could be his last year because he just wanted 1 year to play with his son, Bronny. And now, like, his younger son, Bryce, is about to be a freshman, I think, next year at Arizona. And it's like, who's to say LeBron doesn't play 2 more years to play with both of his sons? Like, I mean, he's going to have the talent to still be in the league. It's just if he wants to.
Lionel Messi yesterday was in Chicago playing the Chicago Fire. And it's interesting watching him at this stage of his career. He picks his spots. He's not someone who's going to be running around a lot, especially in the early part of the game. His brain's kind of like a computer, and he's looking for the weaknesses in the defense, and he kind of figures it out over the course of the game and then starts to get himself more involved. LeBron sort of found a way to do that in a sport like basketball, which is way harder than soccer, because at least in soccer you have 10 other guys that can kind of make up for Messi, maybe not playing as hard defensively. But LeBron has found a way to take care of his body and take off possessions. And that's why getting Luka was so important for that team, because it takes so much of the burden off him offensively that he can now also contribute defensively, because he hadn't really been a great defender over the last couple of years. But that was more out of, I'm going to save my body because I know when we need a bucket, I can get my head down and get to the hoop. Now that he has Luka, if he can win one more ring, it really does make the Michael Jordan LeBron question very interesting. If he gets one more ring, I kind of think it's the case for LeBron becomes insurmountable.
I would agree.
You look at some guys who are in not the same age bracket, but similar time frame, like Kevin Durant, James Harden, Steph Curry, still very effective players. Steph's 37, James Harden's 35, and Kevin Durant's 36. You imagine those guys doing it for 3, 4, 5 more years and still being as effective as they are right now?
Steph's the one guy just because he'll be able to age pretty well with the three-pointer, but the amount of running that it takes for him to do all that, it is a question of, what does it look like at 40? It probably doesn't look the same as it looks now. We're probably ending the period of his peak. But Steph, to me, like we talked about the Olympic game, when he's going, there's truly nobody like Steph when he's hit a couple in a row. It's an unbelievable feeling.
It's similar. We're getting into basketball talk here, but like it's similar to me for like Kevin Durant of like he's considered by – he was one of my favorite players of all time, so I'm a little biased. But he's considered by many as like the best scorer of all time. Like when Kevin Durant pulls up like mid-range, he can shoot over anyone. He's like 6'10", and he's still just like a freak athlete himself. But I do agree of – I don't know if in 4 years Kevin Durant will look the way LeBron does right now at age 40. And like you said, I think Steph will still be able to knock down threes, but will he be able to like create his own shot quite as well? Maybe not. Like will he be able to sprint around running off screens every play? Maybe not. But it is – I wouldn't even say it was a hot take by Danny, because I think we all agreed with Danny that LeBron's longevity is more impressive, which is surprising that he's a LeBron guy.
I think Danny should have saved that for the live show, though. I would have liked to have seen a Chicago audience react to that.
We would have got booed, though. Nope. Because we all would have agreed with him and got booed.
That's a great take by Danny. Let's get people to Sloan Screen Time. Sloan is the world's leading manufacturer of commercial plumbing systems. They're at the forefront of the green building movement and provide smart, sustainable, and hygienic restroom solutions by manufacturing water-efficient products, including flushing meters, faucets, sink systems, soap dispensers, and fixtures for commercial, industrial, and institutional markets worldwide. To learn more, visit Sloan.com. What are your screen times?
350.
You're doing yesterday's?
No, I did today's. I can't do a Sunday's.
Great.
You guys would make fun of me.
2 hours, 1 minute.
There you go, Tom. Oh, Ian's only been up for like an hour. Ugh.
West Coast is going to kill us.
157.
Oh, Tom almost had him. I'm still giving you that, Tom. You're 2 hours ahead of them.
And the worst part is it updated. It was lower, and then I went to the screen, and it updated as I got there. So it was like 148, and then I'd been on it during the show. If I had been on it during, I was trying to do my job.
Killer. That's a killer.
Would have been a natural win. Natural dub. That's episode 254 of the Compound Podcast, presented by Parse Rum. Go to Benny's. Get your Parse. Send us a photo. Shout you out on the pod. We'll see you next week.
In 2009, 3 days before Halloween, a grisly crime stunned the seaport town of Anacortes, Washington.
I can only describe it as evil.
From 48 Hours, this is Train to Kill, the dog trainer, the heiress, and the bodyguard.
He couldn't control his obsession.
Who was the hunter and who was the hunted? Follow and listen to Train to Kill on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.